Blog Talk Radio.
This is a calling in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wasn't this the reveal to us in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I? And daughters from afar, everyone that is called by my name, Rastafari, in the form of 500 families, to occupy 500 acres of land, to establish a model city to the world, in the land of Ethiopia.
We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We
want all of our rights. Telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in conversation time must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Once again, it's Sunday night. It's the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated Local 26, the Women's Auxiliary, with your host with the most, and she ain't no ghost, and she's here live and in color, Miss Sadie Gomez. Let's give her a nice hand and welcome her to the studio.
Well, thank you so very much to my wonderful co-host, Dr. Robinson. It's a wonderful Sunday evening with Sadie Gomez, live and alive, from Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated for the Women's Auxiliary Local 26, coming to you on this wonderful, cool Sunday evening, but still a wonderful Sunday. We had a lovely blue sky, white clouds, bright sunshine, but of course, it's cold. It is very cold. It's winter. It's that time of the year, and we have to welcome all seasons. But as we are here tonight, Dr. Robinson, you'll have to let me know how the studio guests are looking.
I will.
Okay, so before we get our topic this evening, we want to really get into it when our studio is a little bit more filled. Is there anyone at this time?
Yes. You have any questions for your subject matter?
Yes. So what I'd like to discuss tonight, there have been a case where a six-year-old has shot a teacher in Virginia. Now, it has not been a really big news, but this incident happened two Fridays ago, which would be on a Friday of January the 6th. But I was listening this morning to Fox News, and they seemed to have a little bit more into the investigation, which caused me to want to have this topic discussed tonight. The police in question, who's doing the investigation, has said that this shooting that took place was not accidental, but intentional. So we have to raise a little bit of eyebrows here to know that a shooting that was done by a six-year-old student, this teacher was a 31-year-old Caucasian, beautiful blonde lady, and it was told that the kid took out the gun from his person and shot the teacher. And it was reported that not one, but more than one shot rang out at that time. it so happened that she tried to block the shot, but the bullet landed in her chest. The teacher now is in serious condition, but of course recovering at this point. This is what the news has told us. So far, we do not know the identity of this child because he has to be protected, he or she, but in speaking, the police kind of gave away, so we know it's a male child at this point, you know, with listening carefully to all the bits of the news. What we do not know is the, the racial ethnicity of this child, or if it matters, but we are following carefully to know that something like that has taken place, and we try to narrow it down as to how did this happen. At this point, when the six-year-old fired off the gun or whatever, well, it was identified as a 9mm firearm, you know, what happened after? We understand that the teacher was getting the other students safely out of the classroom, but what about the child with the gun? And how did this child end up in school with a gun? Somebody has to drop him off. It would be the school bus or his parents. So that has, you know, we have to investigate. But I'm bringing this topic on tonight for those of us who have more information about this topic, or also for us to get in to understanding why something like this was done. So I'll give our studio audience a chance to weigh in on the subject, and I will come back at another point so that we can discuss really, really the length of what this destruction is about and intended for. So, Dr. Robinson, if you can open the mic for those who are there, I would have to do so.
718-669, your mic is open.
Good evening. Thanks for giving me any chance to speak on this issue. I really like the discussions, and hopefully open up to hear a little bit more. It is sad for such a situation to happen, but what can we do? We just have to find the insights as to how a kid would do something like that. But then again, we don't have all the facts, and it is not right for something like that to happen. So we just have to see what happened, and then see what advice we can give so that it doesn't happen again. That's all I can say. All right. Thanks.
Okay, caller, thank you so very much for coming onto the show. We welcome you any Sunday if you may come on, and we thank you for your participation. It was really happy to know that a topic like this, so very testy, we have to follow carefully, and we have to each try to understand why this was done, or what is the reason that this is being forecast right now. You know, real or imagined, there must be something else that's going on as the investigation takes place. So we give a chance for someone else to weigh in on this conversation.
619-449, your mic is open. Okay, move on. 646-792, your mic is open.
646-792, your mic is open. You wish to participate in the conversation?
A lot of people, you might be shy, or, you know, if you don't feel like you have enough information, you can just state that you want to, you know, wait for further information about the story before you comment, if that's what the situation is. Okay, going to the next, 904-482, your mic is open.
Okay, 904-482, your mic is open. This is Sadie Sunday for the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, Local 26 Women Auxiliary. Our topic of conversation this evening, a six-year-old in Virginia has shot a teacher. Came to school with a 9mm weapon last Friday or two Fridays ago, which will be on January the 6th of this year, 2023. What is very surprising is this has not been making a big news, but this is indeed quite important for us to know that children, almost like a baby, a six-year-old, can now be taught in a dangerous weapon. What about the other children involved? What if he accidentally shot himself? What is really going on as far as he has to leave home and somebody has to dress this child, pack his lunch kit, or a six-year-old? As I remember, this is the thing that provide as a six-year-old, plus take him to school, him or her. But this has happened. And in a report this morning, listen to Fox News from that Virginia side, the police doing the investigation stated that this incident is not accidental, but has been intentional. That's weighing in some really heavy words coming from a police officer doing the investigation. Because we are picturing here a six-year-old child with a 9mm weapon firing off. The teacher is blocking a shot, which means this shot has to be really close range. I understand from the report that the teacher was correcting him for whatever it is. I guess six-year-olds are probably naughty in class, if you remember six-year-olds. And it's reported he took the weapon from his person and shot the teacher. So to think of a six-year-old with an intent to shoot, that means he probably could have killed her because being at such close range. So we question things here as to what type of activity that can be, because really a normal six-year-old, as we know normal to be, you know, wouldn't have such a thought. So now we are entering into a really, really dark phase in our existence where we have to be aware that six-year-olds can be killers, not just for teachers, but for, even for the other students. So this is our conversation as we continue in our evening. Open up the mics of those who are here in the studio audience to participate in the conversation.
480-292, your mic is open.
Hey, can y'all hear me? Good evening. It's Pastor Don GNCO. How y'all doing?
Good. Welcome.
Hey, man, how you doing, Miss Sadie?
I'm good.
I was just calling in support.
Thank you.
Hey, man. Yeah, I was just mic checking. I'm here. I'm definitely in the building.
Okay, we thank you. Listen up and, you know, we checking again. So you can open up the
microphone. Dr.
Robinson?
You can go on now until the others will pick up their mic.
Okay, so as we continue for this Sunday evening, this wonderful Sunday evening, there are so many things as well happening in the news. I know we reflect upon the football player that had a heart attack on the field. There's something quite sinister about that as well, but we are watching and we are waiting because I'm watching to see this guy supposedly now is recovering. However, you did not see him come out in his wheelchair. They normally would come out and wave to the crowd and thank the people for all those who pray for him and everything. He just seemed to get cured and ride into the sunset. You know, I looked at this guy because a lot of people was praying for this guy, hoping for his recovery. And at this point, you know, we understand that he left the hospital. We did that show with Damil Hanel, or Damar Hanel, if I'm calling his name correctly, the football player. Some of us are aware of that as well. But I do understand he's recovering, which is a good thing. I know a lot of us was praying for him. We kept him in our prayers. This is something that's happening now. A lot of supposedly healthy people are just dropping down as well. This is a case of what's going on here. People seem to be dropping you know, on live TV almost. And a lot of cases, you know, we have to examine right now on live TV, football players, athletes, TV personnel, they're just dropping down. I mean, in front of this while at work doing news. So this too we are looking at as we open the year, I'm saying 2023, are so many things happening so really fast, so really different. And we are heading into such a time, a really much fast and furious are we going. But are we yet prepared now for such a time that we are heading into? Because we kind of set the time or even what we are heading into at this very time. So we are back to our topic of conversation where we are seeing a six-year-old having shot a teacher. This bullet is now lodged in her chest. She is recovering. However, we pray that she do well and, you know, things go really good for her. But let us examine what's happening here. With a six-year-old child having now to face a court situation, a judge, a lawyer, he or she has to get, but I do believe it's a male, this child, from what the police officer, by the slip of the tongue, we understand it's a male. We don't know yet the race of the child, if it should be important, yes or no, but with a sticky subject like that, we have to examine all things. But here we are seeing the innocence of children being taken away. This, in the long run, is what is really happening. Because at 6 years old, there are so many things that you ought not to know. And now, with something like this happening, you're now forced to experience things that adults are experiencing. And you would have had 10 more years before you would have walked through a metal detector or something of the sort. Because that's what goes on in high school, likely so, because 16-year-olds can be a little hyperactive and somewhat a little crazy and out of control, rebellious. But at 16, and that's something parents are prepared to deal with, you know, at this time, because we know 16-year-olds, they're going to give a little trouble here and there at 16 until, you know, we really get them into shape, we let them know as adults they have to be responsible for action. But at 6-year-olds, babies, so now we are placing the guilt of almost a murder upon a child. So here we are understanding in the long run, we are taking away the innocence of children. When the innocence of children has been taken away, it means children are now exposed to other adult activities because now this is what they are planning to force on children. This is a sad case of something I have read today that is really, really heartbreaking for me. I don't know. It's not our topic, but it's kind of related to what we are doing this evening. I think I'll have to do this on my next show, perhaps, or just slip it in right now this evening as we're talking about. But a letter came to a group that I'm affiliated with that examine, you know, things both religious and sensible on all sorts of things like that. But not to bash any religion because it's really about serving one great master. But here we are examining this letter written by, I forget the person's name, but the last name in Shorbs or something along that line. And a very long letter indeed. And he is saying, this particular individual, that pedophilia should be an integral part of our society and it will even help our society. The letter goes on to say many different things to support why this action should be so. And of course, if he is bold-faced enough to write such things, because this individual would have had support along the way that he feels so strong that he can express himself so boldly in a time like this. So let us look for the long run of what is going to happen to children. Children, in a sense, is being taken away slowly. They are coming after our children, and that's the wicked forces that be for the wicked times that we are living in. We as parents, teachers, mothers, sisters, big brothers, uncles, the family unit, again, here we have to shield and protect our children. again, teaching comes and it starts at home, because everything starts at home. That should be the core from where teachings and all good things begin. Even bad things are examined there too, at the home, where children are first seeing the sanctuary of home, where things can be discussed and understood. So let's take back our children in a really vigilant sort of way to know and understand that there's a plot out there to rob our children of their innocence. It's going to start somewhere. It's going to start in some place, but it's going to come right down to the very ugly, to which we really, really don't want to talk about. But this is going to be a part of our society in the very near future. Not to bash anybody's preferences, but there are some things that really, really should be left alone, and that is the innocence of children. I mean, when you grow up to be an adult, you're going to be an adult forever, but you're just a child for like 0 to 12 years, and then, you know, you start having to grow up or whatever that would mean. And at this point, we see and we know that most of us are adults now. The greatest time to reflect upon, like when I'm in a really kind of not so good mood, I go back to that really nice time of that childhood. And it's the dreams and the places in our beautiful visions that we can go back to, the fields of flowers and butterflies, and what childhood reminds us of, candies and ice cream and cakes and pretty dresses and bows and our toy trucks and our cars. And childhood was the most wonderful time, only because we were innocent. We were innocent to the uglies of the world. And I strongly believe, and I am a strong advocate for children, in that children innocence should be protected, especially from 0 to 12 years old, because we have years and years of being an adult, but come on, there's only that really delicate 12 years of being a child. And I strongly believe it must be protected and should be protected at all costs, despite what society feels or what society may slant to. In nature, even in the very nature of things, there is laws. And when we see nature itself separates a child from an adult, the very development by a child to an adult is a procedure that takes place, because you become an adult, but you would be a child for 12 years before you have to become that adult in all forms, mentally, physically, psychologically, in all forms, you become that. So let us protect children and their innocence, because we have to get back to understanding that each child is our child. So it's not that, you know, that child didn't matter, because we would have learned from ancient African tradition that it took a village. And that conversation do have to go away, and that has not been a lie. Tried and tested, it takes a village, there is a child. Simply because the parent would not, their biological parent may not see everything. That's why you have the godmother, the godfather, the auntie, the uncle. Those are the people that prop and shape this individual and also protects this individual. As we know, we the nurturing mothers, and of course there are fathers too who are nurturing. I'm not going to bash the men here. But for the nurturing mothers, sisters, aunties, you know, they along the line, we see things a little deeper, because we look at children to know what is really going on, because sometimes they may want to have to hide things, but not with our prying eyes. We're mothers, so we have to get back to being that type of African mommy who we know the children can run to into our loving arms. You know, we hug them, we kiss them, but there's a certain innocence that must be preserved with children. And we as adults, we know exactly what that is all about. We want children, and I often reflect and say, thank God, you know, for good parents I have. May they rest in power at this time. But truly, innocence was really, really shielded. So I became an adult. It was time to become an adult. I knew the things I was supposed to know in a given time. And that was really, really a good stabilizing factor for me, because really the things that adults know, I don't think I wanted to know that when I was 9. I don't want to know about that, really. So I'm really glad I was preserved in innocence until I could be teenager enough for decisions. But all the same, we see here society is trying to shape and form what we should do. But let it not be so. Let us not let what we're going to let. Who we're going to bring up our children? The forces that be, society, what is society? You know? So here we are with this question, and we have our studio audience that we give a chance to weigh in on the conversation. So Dr. Robinson, you can let me know who's there to open their mics.
All mics are open right now. And all the mics are open. There's no callers as yet.
Okay, so maybe what would you like to say in this conversation, Dr. Robinson? I'm putting you on the spot.
No, you hit it on the you hit the monkey on the head. Children are exposed to too much. Organizations that have evil intentions with children are being supported. There's an organization called Man Boy Love of North America, and they basically are spreading information that men can love little boys, 9, 7, 6 years old. Men can have relationships with them and be their lover, and little boys can, according to this Man Boy organization, little boys can select to be lovers of men. And when they check the contributors that support this organization, Trump was one of the people that was giving donations, and he said he didn't know that his money was going there, but he was one. And there's many of famous people who support that organization privately, and there's many endeavors that go on in secret societies, wealthy societies, the entertainment world. These societies, private societies, have these rituals with children and sexual acts and et cetera. Children, it's quite obvious when a little boy shooting from this man's letter that you just read, from the discourse between maturity and immaturity, childhood, adulthood, teenage years. Like you said, children exposed to too much, and this exposure is destroying them. They don't have the capability or the capacity to sustain the level of racism that they experience, the level of sexuality that they experience. Children are being driven into sex slave organizations. People don't talk about how many children of color have been missing. Just go to school and don't come back home. Go down to the store for their mother and don't come back home. Hundreds of thousands of children per month are going missing. 100,000 of children, like their bodies been gutted and their internal organs are gone. And they're being donated to other people that need whatever organs there are. So there's a lot of demonic evil things going on, and people need to watch their children. Children need to be beat. Children need to be children. They need to be put into a child's place. They need not to be a part of an adult world, cannot handle it. The adults can't even handle it. We see many adults right now that are committing suicide, saying that I can't take it no more. You know, the guy, Stephen Boss, a.k.a. DJ Twitch from Ellis DeGeneres Show, his letter said that he could not take it anymore. What is that he could not take anymore? The conditions that he's experiencing. The little young boy there, 21 years old, from Walt Disney Films, he committed suicide. The other little boy from Walt Disney Films, he killed his mother and father. I'm saying we see all these acts of violence coming from children. I never heard of nothing like this. And just like you said, when I was 6, 7, 5, I don't want to know what adults are doing. I don't want to hear about it. You know, I don't want to participate in it. And I believe that children are being forced into things that they do not want to be a part of, and they're having this reaction, mental and physical reaction to an environment that's unstable, dehumanizing, and destructive, and immoralizing, and that's corrupting their morals and their ethics. You know, the children are being abused in all kinds of ways. And, you know, this is the expression that we are facing because the children can't handle it. You know, I don't know what I know there was a lot of teachers molesting children. We don't talk about that either.
Well, that has been fascinating. Just as you mentioned it, you know, I just heard about it last week, whereby, you know, a young lady came forward, and it was just some really swept under the rug, as you would say.
Yeah, there's a lot of children that have been filing cases against teachers. There's a lot of teachers that are at court. I don't know if you remember elementary school teachers got caught. One teacher, she was over the period of 9-10 years that she'd been teaching second and third grade, she'd been molesting children. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And until the children step up and tell their parents, she continued to do it. There's so many teachers that have been taking children to their home, and the teacher with her husband molesting kids, molesting little girls, and molesting little boys. You know, and this is not a small percentage. It's not a rare condition, a rare case. These things are in big numbers. You don't hear a lot about it because schools tend to institutionalize their problems, and there's a different kind of legal procedures for a teacher when a teacher violates a child, because they don't want to violate they don't want the child to be exposed as well. So there's ways that these things are done in court privately, and so you don't hear about it. But I mean, as far as talking to parents, as far as talking to kids, I've heard so many stories of just either physical violations, sexual abuse, teachers beating on kids, punching them like, you know, like they're adults, abusing them, calling them names. There was a teacher in the Bronx the other day. She's supposed to be a peaceful, loving principal. I think she's the principal or the vice principal of a school in the Bronx.
Uh-huh.
She's out there telling the boys, come on, come on, come on with what you got, and punching on the boy like she's a gang, like she's a gangster. And starting to fight with the boy. And the mother of the boy said, I'm surprised at her. But these kids are 16 and 17 years old, and she's out there, got her fists up like a gangster, talking about, come on, come on, I'm going to bust your ASS. And she's telling the kid in front of other students out there fighting. And the mother said, I'm surprised at her because, you know, she's always talking about love and God and all the precious kids and all that stuff. And she's out there acting like a fool. I don't know. Nobody knows whether she's on drugs or she's on alcohol or she doesn't want her damn mind.
Something got into her, but that was really demonic.
Yeah, and these people are teaching children. Police officers are molesting kids. They're molesting women. They're molesting men. Okay, they're dehumanizing people. They're calling people out of their name. They're beating people up. They're shooting and killing people. And you don't think the children are going to go crazy? You don't think kids that expose and see this kind of behavior?
Yeah, they're
losing their friends for gun violence. We got gun violence by the police. We got gun violence by the gangs. We got the gangs selling drugs and alcoholism. We got homelessness. We got shelters where kids are abused inside the shelters. You got the continuous, we got disappearing children being put into drug bins and sexual trafficking of children and selling children in other countries. There's a lot of stuff going on that if you think about it, I would never if I did not see certain things for myself, if I did not hear certain things from professional people and from witnesses, eyewitnesses, I would say you're a lie. These things can't happen. But they're happening right here in good old U.S. of A. The good old United States of America, where everybody's the home of the free and the brave. It's happening right here in America, and it's happening in large numbers, and it's a very abusive society. And these kids are reacting.
It's a dysfunctional society. When you see kids doing things like getting guns and going to school and killing people, there's something else connected to that. The American society got to look at itself. When our children are murderers, killers, and rapists, and doing all kinds of things, and children having babies and all this kind of crazy business and being molested by whoever and whenever, you got to look at your society. Children do not engage in this kind of behavior independently. There's no little child starting a gang to go rape people and kill people and shoot people. There's no such thing. These adults got these children involved in all this kind of craziness. And when you find out that little boy that shot that woman, when you dig deeper, you're going to find out it's something demonic on their side. It's something demonic. Because I don't know whether, you know, you can't put nothing behind these teachers. They're molesting these children. They're exposing them. They're beating them. They're treating them like dogs, you know, and cats and whatnot. And they're dehumanizing them. And nobody know what kind of, you know, frustration this child is going through with this teacher over a period of years. Because I don't see a little kid getting so angry at a teacher that he's going to get a gun and he know how to get a gun. And most of the time, if a child get a gun from his home, at least they're going to say the gun belonged to the mother, they belonged to the father, the gun was in the home, it was registered, it was locked up. They usually tell you all that part. They don't tell you the kid's name and stuff, but at least they tell you where the gun came from and how he got the gun. This is the time they don't know where the gun came from, how he got the gun, and whatnot. You know, nobody's talking to the parents. You know what I'm saying? There's no investigation on that end. So we don't even know where the kid got the gun from. We don't know how he got the gun, how did he got to the school. You know, this is crazy. It's crazy. And you get to a point where you say, you know what? This stuff got to stop. At some point, decent, moral, ethical people have to stand up and say, this kind of stuff have to stop. You know, but we got congressmen that lie. Say they white when they're Brazilian. Say they got money when they're stealing. Look at it. Presidents are taking confidential government papers home and keeping it in their house. Their children are drug addicts and alcoholics, having children by prostitutes. Come on, these are presidents of the United States. And look how they're behaving. And what kind of example are these people? You know, demoralizing things that happen in the Congress. You look at the Congress, they get cursing at each other, they fight each other, they can't come to a conclusion of electing a House Speaker, they fighting with each other back and forth, they saying one side is drunk with alcohol and drugs and popcorn, and it's just a circus. And these children are exposed to this behavior. And these spirits, like you said, these demonic spirits of taking part with these kids. These kids are picking up the spirits. They're picking up this demonic evil. I've never seen so many videos where kids just show videos where they're just beating the hell out of each other. They're just fighting. I mean, pure fighting. I mean, beating each other till they can't see and their blood. What kind of kids just fight until you don't bloody somebody? The girl, one girl like she was mental, and the other girl knocked her so hard, she knocked her teeth down her throat. These are 13 and 14-year-old girls. When did the girls get so vicious? The girls are vicious. The girls fight. I mean, when they fight, they fight. I mean, they want to draw blood. They're not happy until you're buck naked, don't take all your clothes off. These girls are pulling their hair out of the girl's hair. They're knocking them inside the eyes. I mean, they're vicious. There's just not no regular fight where you just fight somebody hand to hand. They're doing all kind of knives and guns and chemicals, and they throwing lye and all. It's just crazy. It's just when you think about it, and you have children. You have grandchildren, great-grandchildren. You think about these things because your children are exposed to this environment. And I tell people all the time, you know, all these killings, these white men just getting out of trucks and just shooting black little kids, 9 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old. And you can think, oh, yeah, that's in Ohio. That's in Arizona. That's in South Carolina. That's Alabama, or that's in Chicago. That's over here. You can keep thinking that. Keep thinking that these nuts, these fools are right here in New York. These nuts are right up in New York State. They're in New Jersey. They're in Connecticut. They're all over the damn place. It just didn't hit you yet. If we don't get, if we adults that got morals and ethics and common sense, if we don't try to get this, catch this stuff before it gets totally out of hand, we all our children are going to be affected. All our elderly people are going to be affected. They're beating the elderly like crazy in these nursing homes. Okay, they're beating them like hell, and they're abusing them, and they're sexually abusing them, and they're starving them. They're knocking on old people's door, young kids, 15, 14, knocking on old people's door, 6, 8, 9, and 10 of them, busting in the door and beating the hell out of the old person and stealing their food stamps and their little Social Security check. This, I'm telling you, and if you think it's only down the street around the corner and it ain't got to you yet, trust me. If we don't take this thing and stop this craziness, it's going to affect all of us. All of us is vulnerable. All of us can be exposed. All this walking on the air, walking on the train, buck naked and throwing people off the tracks, all this raping women on the train and people just watching and taking videos of it, this stuff is real. I never thought in all my life, in all my years, I never thought I would see the dehumanizing things that you see now and hear about. I never thought I would see it. But it's getting, and it's not getting better. That's the problem. And ain't nobody talking about it. There's no authorities that's trying to get this thing under control. It's just going freedom, freedom, freedom. People stopping people in cars and shooting them. It just, you know, people shooting in cars and killing kids. And they don't give a damn who they shoot. You know what I'm saying? People just busting people aside their head. They don't know you from Adam Housecat. And you walking down the street and somebody decide they want to bat you in the head or knock you side your eyes and beat the hell out of you for nothing. And crazy people sleeping in the streets, sleeping under the gutters, coming out of the gutters in the street, and they just molesting people and robbing people and killing people. It is getting crazy, people. It's getting crazy. I never thought all my life that I'll live to see this kind of dehumanizing, animal, barbaric behavior, and it's getting worse. And like the people just like the people that are supposed to have some common sense, government people or whoever, medical people, they just as crazy as the people. So I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's just like, to me, it's just like, you know, it's one for all and all for one, and do what the hell you want to do and how you want to do it. You know, these kids are just getting money on top of money, and all they're doing is cursing and fighting and stealing and robbing. The music is demonic. It's evil. It's sexually evil. It's telling you to molest this one and kill that one and knock that one side of the head. And it's just an evil world. If you ain't a gangster, you ain't mean, you ain't killing somebody, like you ain't nobody until you don't kill somebody. These kids are walking around talking about, I got bodies. They ain't got no, I got dead people. I don't kill X amount of people. I got 10 bodies, 9 bodies. And they going, and they talking about up in the G block, this, that. They glorifying being locked up in jail like an animal. That's a big deal to them. They're talking about they living in the ghetto and they living like barbaric and crazy. And they think that's pretty. They think it's pretty. It's a big thing to be that kind of a person with that kind of behavior. And it's not pretty. It's ugly. And if we don't, I'm just saying, you know, I don't want to take the whole show, but it's just ridiculous. And I'm just upset about this whole thing. It's crazy.
Well, Dr. Robertson, we can keep you talking. I will chime in here. We can always get back to you. But I want to piggyback on what you have said concerning the fact of this demonic activity. What is really happening here, and it's creeping up on us because we are not, well, some of us are not teaching our children about what is truly right and wrong as far as the laws of the Almighty God goes, or whatever name you may call him. So we have to get back to those very fundamental of what it is of bringing up a child. other than that, if you just let a child grow up on its own, or if we were just left to grow up on our own, we would just have been animals dressed up nicely. We need discipline. We need discipline back in the homes, back in the schools, for in so much doing. If we feel in the area of discipline, what is going to happen? We are going to be faced with conditions of lawlessness, whereby everybody can do what they want. And we are soon heading there. And when we head there, what a world it will be. It will be a world like Mad Max. You know, if you remember the Mel Gibson movie, Mad Max and the Thunderdome, I think Tina Turner acted in that movie. For those who can remember or who were there in the movie time, you know, I don't go to the movies anymore, but I remember from way back there, whereby it was a case of lawlessness. And we see more of it is coming on. It's slowly creeping up on it, up on us, I should say. And some of the lawlessness is being instituted right here and now under the guise of what we call government. Because as far as, you know, I should say it right now, 2 days ago, the President Biden passed the law whereby if two men or two women or two people of same sex wishes to get married and they go to a church, the priest cannot turn them down because he'll be breaking the law. But he will be taken to court. He will be jailed, have to pay a fine if he refuses to conduct such a marriage. And this was passed into law 2 days ago. Are we here? Are we paying attention? We would see a case where, you know, small items that we are turning our eyes on, eventually when, you know, everything is taken in its grand, on a grand scale, we understand we cannot even live among the very thing that we have created. And for so doing, that is why we observe the laws of the Most High, by for which name we may call, but they are the laws of Ma'at. You have to understand there are laws, and failure to observe such laws, there will be consequences, of which are not ever pleasant, of which we have to face, and we cannot sweep them under the rug because it's like a scorpion, it's coming to bite us. So here we are faced now with situations whereby we are understanding what is going on, understanding or overstanding or understanding, but we know there is a situation. And unless, as the old people say, and now we get into being the old people, we have to nip the situation in the bud. So we are seeing the children going wild and running wild and crazy. But as Dr. Robinson, as you said, the adults having not been an example unto these kids. Some adults are unable to make a correction. But let us be mindful that we ought to be adults. We ought to be a light unto these kids, a light even to the darkness of this world. What's happening whereby we can still stand and defend, you know, what is right, what is wrong, what is true, because those things do not change. Man may change and situations may change, but there are some things that do not change. What is right, and what is wrong, and it really doesn't have a gray line. And we need to stop within our own self, with an acceptance of what is right, what is wrong, but just observe the laws and keep ourselves safe within the laws. Therefore, we would be running a real tight ship, as we would say, but having laws, there's nothing wrong with laws because they are guidance to our behavior. And as humans, we need laws. We need the laws of the Almighty God, or whichever name we may call him, that to follow, just to guide us along, that our life can be pleasant while we go through this here earth. So when we fail to recognize laws and structure, and we see that there's a breakdown in structure, a breakdown in laws, then we are now faced with certain consequences and certain situations which are not pleasant that we now have to live in. And the filth that is created from this lawlessness, who wants to be here? Who wants to be in it? But slowly we see how it can creep up on us when we have failed in certain areas. So that lawlessness that we see that is happening among our children, we see where it started. Prayer was taken out of schools. And it was no big deal. That's just something that... But there was a time, and I grew in that time. Maybe I was just probably at the tail end of it because I don't know. But when there were prayer in school, there was less demonic activities among children. Because I strongly remember, just before you break for the evening, in the school I went to, which was definitely very Catholic, I don't know, I ended up in a Catholic school, it's my own good, but you had to pray before you leave the school. So there mustn't be much fighting after you say some prayers, because prayers surely work in miracles. So now we are watching young girls want to kill each other and fight each other in such a beastly fashion. It was never like that in our time. It still had fights where girls push each other, and, you know, there'll be calling of names, of course, who pull somebody ears, and there will be something, because there will be scruffles. Of course, human behavior. But now I'm seeing girls are fighting almost like to the dead end. They want to kill each other. You know, they want to see blood, and it's something, and this is being videotaped. That's, of course, how we see it, so I don't know if the hype is because the lights and cameras is on you, so now you're in full action. I mean, that can give you an adrenaline rush. You know, the lights and cameras, I mean, I remember lights and cameras, but there was no fight. That was when, you know, my days of modeling, that was, oh, you get a rush, you want to do your best. So now the girls are not even wanting to be girls too much, and this is something that we can see in that development whereby boys leaning towards being more feminine and girls leaning towards being more masculine. Of course, this is a different show for a different day, because this was done in our water, and there's many reports as to how this mess came into being, and it started 20 years ago, but here it's manifesting in real time. Girls are now adopting behavioral patterns as boys, or what we normally deem boys to be. Boys will be rough and tumble, and that will be all right. Boys will fight and kick each other, and that will be all right. Girls will be more delicate and sweet and beautiful and smell of roses, and, you know, but the roles are reversing, you know, no thanks to us who like things to remain how it should be, but we are seeing girls are becoming a little more on the masculine side, and that development is really not so pretty, because it's not a pretty sight when we see beautiful feminine girls start to fight like little animals. It's the ugliest thing you can see. So here we are again watching how, as the years went by, the results of our behavior and our activities manifesting before us. And again, not a pretty picture at all. And as Dr. Robinson said, it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. And I would be in full agreement with you, because we are in such a time whereby we see the end time. And the good book warns us that there will be the generation of vipers. And here we are. Here we are. So if anyone else has joined us, it's a city.
Yes.
Sunday, wonderful Satan Sunday. We can open the mics
up. Your special guest, your host with the most, the man with the plan, Dr. James W. Winborn, the creator of the Neo Nation programs. And let's welcome him in.
Oh, man, it is such a pleasure to be on the radio this Sunday evening with the wonderful Miss Sadie Gomez and the great Dr. Ron Robinson that I hear in the background. Have my audience ready and everything. That's what's up.
Well, it's wonderful to have you, Dr. Winwood. So wonderful to hear your voice. And it's wonderful, Sadie Sunday. You can win our conversation as you chime in this evening.
Well, I got in. I'm just getting in, so I really haven't heard much of the conversation. But what I did hear was that we're living in a time where the gender roles are changing, and the little boys want to be girls, and little girls don't want to be pretty flowers anymore. They want to be boys, and all type of stuff is going on right now that we have to be conscious of and aware of what's happening as part of the deterioration of the family unit, really. And so when we look around and we see, I was really kind of surprised, you know, I was in Newark, and I was talking to one of the vendors, and while we were talking, I guess school had gotten out. And so all the kids were everywhere at downtown Broad Market. And I had never seen anything like it before. I saw so many little girls hugged up. One looking like a girl, another one looking like a little boy. And walking down the street holding hands and doing all kind of stuff. And it just, I seemed to be the only one surprised at what was going on. So, I'm like, wow, how did this happen? When did we get to this? You know, you look on TV now and you see so much free images of homosexual behavior. That's just as a way of life now, on TV, the shows, the same sex affectionates that, you know, on TV, just right in front of our faces. So it was a time when people were doing these things and we knew they were doing them, but it was still kind of taboo, and it wasn't on TV during prime time. Now, if it's not on TV, there's something wrong with you. You know, I think it was you I was talking to earlier that said that now they made it, the president made it a law. I don't know if you may have talked about it before I came on.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Biden made it a law that, you know, like the clergy cannot refuse to marry a same-sex couple. And I'm like, that's kind of deep. You know,
it's
22
days old. I guess you can repeal.
Well, you know, so it's real strange. There's laws now. I think they are extremists on both sides of the issue, or on all sides of the issue, because I do think that that's extreme. But I don't think that that's any more extreme than what the Supreme Court have gotten rid of Roe v. Wade. And now a woman don't have a right over her body and what she could do with her body. There's things that can happen with her body that will now cause her to be a criminal for terminating a pregnancy. That's criminal activity now. You know, so we got to look at these things and see them. So now you have one person, you got one side say, listen, if you don't marry same-sex people, that's a criminal. You know, it's criminal. You can be criminally charged. You got it on the other end that says that if, you know, if you seek to terminate your pregnancy, or if you're a doctor that helps a woman terminate her pregnancy, you can be criminally charged. Like,
and
what in the world is going on?
But the common factor here is, Dr. Winborn, is the fact that they have control, and that is what is here. I can control you, and you become criminal for an abortion. I can control you, you become criminal for not allowing same-sex marriage. So what we are heading into here is being able to follow an order, which is soon is going to improvise all these little small acts. But what they're bringing down at us here is the New World Order, by which is one order given throughout the earth by which you can do certain things. So they're testing the waters as we go along. You can't. But they are bringing controlling factors into our life. We're supposed to be able to make decisions as to what we want to do, whether we want to do this or that. But they're trying to bring all under one. That's how the alphabet community became so prominent and so much powerful when they decided that they were on the same line with the civil rights movement. Oh, we suffered so, and we, now look how they draw the parallel. Now they are way past the blacks, or what we are affectionately called the niggers, and they are doing better than us.
They wanted to find reasons to continue racism against black people, and they're finding it through ways and means of distraction by putting so much emphasis on homosexuality. You can't say nothing about it. If just like Dr. Wimborne see these strange behaviors in these little kids, and that's strange for a child. I don't care nobody say it. It's strange for a child to hold another child's hand and act like a boy, and she act like a girl, or a boy act like a boy. These kids got videos where they in the street, boys kissing. I'm talking about hugging and kissing, French kissing each other. And they're like 12 and 11, 12 and 13 years old. You mean tell me, yo, you're not scared somebody's going to do it? Yeah, I mean, you're not scared that somebody's going to see you from your neighborhood. Somebody's going to tell your parents. You understand what I'm saying? They're not scared to wear boys wearing dresses with suit and tie jacket. You know, a man is stigmatizing themselves wearing what they call fashion, a skirt with a shirt and a suit jacket. This is totally fashion now. That little boy calling himself Lil Nas, the gay boy pretending to be pregnant. All this kind of stuff, they don't see a strength, but they don't mind getting a little black kid getting shot by a cop. There's no penalties for that. They don't mind, you know, kids getting molested by teachers, no penalties for that. Kids going missing, no penalties for that. Things dehumanizing to the black race or the minorities, they don't find no problem in that. But, oh, don't talk about the gays, or don't do this. Things that are demonic and evil, things that they're willing to love. Because I said this, I don't care nobody said about Obama. He took a big chance supporting same-sex marriage. He could step out and say it was all right, and to go to Africa and talk about it's all right. Y'all got to stop fighting against the gay world. Telling the African prime minister to stop fighting against the gay world, and they telling him, That's not going to happen in our country. We don't have that culture. We don't have those conditions. We don't have those type of environments. And for him to take on that, you know, to take on that particular subject matter and try to push it on society, that was a big chance. Because one thing about America, you know, a large percentage of the people. And probably good 65% are not in favor of, you know, same-sex marriage and the gay behavior. You know, that's why it's subject to a weird understanding when you see certain kinds of behavior between the same sexes. That's why there's never a complete compliance by all Americans when it comes to anybody in the world, complete compliance to subject themselves to this behavior. They'd rather that nobody wants somebody to get killed because you're gay, but everybody preferred that you keep it to yourself. Nobody wants gay people. They're adopting children. They're getting so-called families. They're calling themselves husband, wife and wife, whatever they call themselves. And these children are growing up in these environments, and you're not telling me there's some kind of psychological effect on these kids, you know, because the normalcy is man and woman, mother and father, and now you got a father and a father and a mother and a mother. You don't think that's some kind of effect on these children psychologically? You think it's some kind of effect on those people that are coming together as a husband and a wife and a wife? There's a lot of stuff going on. That the natural order of things, the natural conditioning of man and woman, the natural condition of a family structure, it's being abused
but it's not normalcy. That's why they call them unions. They can't call them marriages. They can't call them husband and wife. They call them unions. They call them partnership. Your other, your significant other. They give all these names to this stuff. But for them to go around behaving like that, the basketball player that got caught up in Russia and got a loose and got a wife and whatnot, you know, all that stuff is just abnormal. But you can't say that. You can't say, I'm not used to this. This is not comfortable for me. I don't want my child exposed to this. I don't want my child participating in this. But it's all right. They put more emphasis and more concern about gay, lesbians, LGBTQLY, what they call themselves. They put more emphasis on their rights, more emphasis on their needs. More sorrow for them, more backing for them, give them more money than anybody else than they do normal situations that have been going on for 200 or 300 years. Just like you say, Satan, they try to merge the gay people with the civil rights movement, with the denial of the rights of a black man and a black woman, the black family, the black children. That don't work. But what that does is it waters things down. They try to bring in all these different things, bringing the Ukrainians. They need this, they need that. That they water in everything that the African American in this country for the last 400 years been fighting for. They've been finding ways to water it down, make it insignificant, make it unimportant. Let's not keep talking about that. Let's not keep talking about slavery. Let's just talking about Jim Crow. Let's not talk about desegregation, racism, systemic, and otherwise. Let's not talk about reparations. Let's talk about the gay people. Let's talk about white men feel left out. Let's talk about white women. They keep saying women. And we know that deal with the white woman thing. We know that deal. I know black women get down with that. But that's, you know, but I know there's a cause behind that. The women want to take care of family. You understand what I'm saying? Water down the importance of the dehumanizing experiences that the black man and woman have, especially the black man. Just totally write him out the picture by making the gay man the important man, making the lesbian woman the important woman, making the white woman important. And black women, you got to wake up. That Me Too movement, that's a white woman movement, and she really didn't need nothing. That women's rights and women lifted up and women getting paid, that's for white women. Y'all ain't going to get the same thing they get. I've been in America all my life, and I know the jive. I know jive when I see it. They discriminate against you black women time after time, and they continue to do it, and they uplift these white women like they've been abused all these years. Come on. Let's get for real. All it is a smoke screen to continue to destroy the black family, continue to have black men marrying white women, continue that whole segregation of black men who become successful and wealthy, feeling that they have to have a white woman in order to continue their success. They continue to destroy the black family, water down the black family, destroy the black family, take away the morals and ethics of the black family, put us into all the jobs. We see our children going experiencing now. All that moral ethic breakdown, that's their thing. That's how they run their lives. That's how they run their society. And they continually want us to be destroyed with the same thing because they saw the power that we had when we stood up for family, we stood up for morals and ethics and religion, and we stood up to be a unit, a family unit. They don't want a powerful black family. They don't want. They talk about Jay-Z and Beyonce. They talk about, you know, all the powerful black families, wealthy black families that are structured out there. They don't want that. They don't want to see a black man with a black woman, with a black children, and a strong structure. They do not want that. They want a black man to be watered down with a white woman, and I'm not talking against the children, but there's an ideology that goes with being half white. You can't be so pro-black if you have white. There's got to be some, just like Obama said, I had a white mama, a white grandfather, so he had to see the both sides of the coin, okay? But there's always been a misbalance. There's a misbalance in the structure, and I see it, we all see it. But when you marry into that section, you got to, you're gonna see some kind of way where they ain't that bad. They that bad and more. And just because you marry one or you dating one and you got one in your side pocket, it does not mean the whole structure of America, the racism, the disease, the sickness, and all this crap with the man and boy love, that's their thing. All this dehumanizing, destroying family structure, that's their thing. And they're going to continue to do that. But here we go. You think you have to have that white man. You think you got to have that white woman. They got the structure set up like that, and they're destroying us with them. They destroying themselves, and they're taking us down with them. And we got to be smart enough to understand and see. It's a total smokescreen to destroy the strong black woman and black children family structure. They just totally the morals, the ethics, the most moral and ethical families when they did a study in 1950 was the black family. More religious, more moral, more ethics. Children were being brought up with some understanding of respect for elders, respect for themselves. When this white relationship started to come in, you saw more black families disintegrating into all kinds of behavior and accepting all kinds of things that we did not accept before. So I'm just telling you, you know, it sounds, you know, people can take it for what it is, but it is what it is. It's destroying us as a people. We have nothing in relationship here in America but to separate, be independent, and build something for ourselves. As long as we continue being under their authority, their ability, their understanding, they will continue to smokescreen, to undermine everything that we're trying to build. And they're definitely trying to destroy the strong black man. They don't want that to happen. But they can't kill us. And they're scared because we keep coming. You can't stop us physically, mentally. A strong black man with a strong ethics and morals and understanding of where he's coming from and what he's standing, they don't understand how we keep standing because they destroy you in every way. They take away your finances. They take away your family. They take away your woman. They take away everything they can take away from you. But we keep standing, and we keep coming strong, and they don't understand it because they will fall, and they will fold up in a minute. And they had to go through the bull that we go through. They couldn't handle it. And so they don't understand the power that we have with God, the power that we have with the spirit, and the power of who we are as African warriors, the spirit of the African warrior, that we keep coming. And like Maya Angelou said, if it don't kill you, it'll make you stronger, but you keep fighting. So this is crazy. All this stuff that we see, to me, children getting guns and shooting teachers, demoralizing ethics, people having sex with this and this and doing all these crazy things, that's just their way of destroying the black man, the black woman, and the black family. That's what I see. I mean, you know, people can see what they see, but that's what I see about this whole thing.
Yes, Dr. Robinson, I truly agree with what you're saying concerning certain lifestyles are really not ours as a black people culturally. We really shared a different type of lifestyle and upbringing as of the white and Caucasian people, especially where our family structures has been. And that sexual pleasures and desires that was Caucasian linked, because in Africa, in that type of society, homosexuality, and even now in Nigeria, you'll make 20 years in jail if you are caught in such an act. So it is, in fact, a law at this time in 2023 in Nigeria against such activity simply because we are not culturally developed like the European has. So another thing, what is happening, and people are not really, you know, being aware of the confusion major confusion that is caused in homosexuality relationships. Just recently, I was, hearing some real life stories coming from a landlord whereby there are continuous fights because you're having two men living together, one playing girl, one playing boy, but at the end of the day, they are men. So when the fights come, it's not no boy-girl fight. It's just two big men fighting real nasty. And this is coming from the landlord, where, I mean, the police have to come and all these things. So I'm hearing a lot of different stories, but they are glamorizing this life, like, oh, so beautiful and fairy tale and we should be accepted. But in real, it is a lot more confusion among the same-sex unions than it is so with the regular male and female. And, you know, each and every one of us who have a relationship would know how difficult it is just for male and women, man and woman, to exist in harmony. It takes a lot, you know, for both parties. And having now these same-sex individuals, it's just being glamorized. But in real, you can check with the police station, it is a new sort of crime, I should say, having this mixed up relationship, because the women, they fight like cats almost to the dead end, and the men, well, of course, it's two males, so they are busting each other's faces because this is male strength against male strength. So when the fight starts, nobody is remembering who's the girl, who's the boy. It's just two men fighting. And it's coming from the police report. And of course, I got some jokes from certain landlords who are saying, you know, they're thinking very much considering, you know, even renting to these people, because when men fight, they break walls and everything, you know, because one punch into the sheetrock and there we go. So I am just, you know, saying, you know, it's probably humorous for this moment in time, but in real, it's a part of society where we are watching a breakdown, a total breakdown. It is not glamorous as they would like it to be, because maybe they can sell a few more handbags or whatever the intent would be. But really, we are thinking of life as a whole, life as we know it, life in its pleasantries. When we see this animal nature, this animal need to behavior that needs to be display. Why? Why has it become like that when humans, or rather relationships, supposed to be a little more tender and soft and loving? You know, for most part, there will be a time where there will be an argument. Yes, as we said, you know, we are human and we are, our blood is close to our skin and whatever excuse we make for a silly argument. But we know these things happen. In a relationship that is so, so confused. It's confusion from the start. There's more drama. And I am telling you that Alphabet community, they bring drama to the table, because they bring drama in everything. Simple shopping at the supermarket to pick up a tray of eggs, that's like a whole day of commotion. So imagine with their unions. I don't know if drama is something that is part of their society, but for any one of us who know them, not to be bashing, you know, the community, but we are facing the real of what they are bringing into society now that their unions are more public, you know, as some of our listeners would agree. I think I like it more when I didn't know about it too much, because there was a time, we grew up in it, it's from since the days of the Bible, I guess, when we just simply did not know, because no one aired their dirty laundry. It was just simply like that. There were people who we know were involved in certain activities. It was done in whispers, in secret places, or wherever they gathered. It was well known. It was done. The world didn't have this display. It was not on a big billboard forcing us to want to be part of it. this is so really obnoxious, because many of us who do not want to have the conversation or even be part of it, we are now forced in conversation. We are forced when we put on our TV, that as one caller just remarked, it's open season. You put on the TV 8 o'clock in the evening, prime time, two men are kissing. You just like, oh my God, I don't want to have this conversation to explain to my grandchildren, you know, spare me already. There was a time that this lifestyle was quite secretive, and really, really, I enjoyed it when it was like in that department. But now here we are, we can't even say boo about it because we could probably go to jail or something. So who really has the freedom? But I'm not here to really discuss freedom, because we are here to really live a life pleasing unto the Almighty, which is our main purpose for our existence. And those that fail to do so, they will have their time and their judgment, and you know, judgment is mine, says the Lord, and he shall repay. So we're not here to pass judgment, but to observe the things that we will like in our life or the things that we will not like in our life. And we are free at this time, still and yet, where we can incorporate the things we want in our life for our stable, well-balanced families. There'll come a time, I hope it's not in the near future, but for a very distant time, when the very laws and existence within the structure of society, that too will be broken down. And we see whereby the laws can be broken down, because we have people like Little Nas, which I call Little Nasty. He has taken over and he's leading a generation into wanting to have pink hair, nails, and dresses. And we see if there was a case where the churches did not sell out or were bought out or however it was, because we know our pastors were sold already, most of them, because the churches were the ones, that mediator, who would be standing in the breaches, who would be standing to teach and to direct humans, men and women, boys and girls, just that part of society, how they should act. But where is the churches? Where's the pastors? They have gone asleep. Where are they? It's a time where they have been bought. They have been bought because for one chandelier in your church and a few benches, you can no longer preach certain psalms or sermons. So therefore, pastors accepted certain things. They have their beautiful velvet chairs. They have their big baskets and collection, and they cannot preach the true word of God because they cannot touch upon certain subjects. So there goes those false pastors. They have their place in the lake of fire, and there they shall go. So here we are wondering why society is able to lean and take apart with their demonic activity and raise it to such a height is because the failure of the churches. Where are the men of God that should be there? Where are the churches that should stand? No, they are absent. Of course, most of them, 99%, have been bought and sold. What are we talking about? Chrysler Dollar, what are we talking about? Joel Osteen, what does he preach? Or the prosperity gospel? He has his place in hell together with his wife. And yes, I said so, because they are not teaching people about the fear of God or the love of God or the law of God. Well, you know, on Sunday Sundays, we often do church. So we are doing church right now. So this is what is happening. So therefore, a breakdown in society, a total breakdown, we have seen the failure of the churches. And this has really, really, you know, where Satan is running rampant because of the failure of the men and women of God to function. Here we are again, Sadie Sunday, opening the mics to those who are here, those who wish to chime in our conversation. Sadie Sunday for the Ethiopian World Federation, Incorporated Local 26, the Woman Auxiliary, where we chat about the things that are on our mind. We tell the truth on the side of tongue. I mean, I'm really afraid to do so. So our mics are open. Dr. Robinson, you can help me identify.
Hey, Dr. Ron Robinson, I have a very special call on the phone with me on my line. Miss Fanny Brown, she's with the JBs. Miss Fanny Brown, please introduce yourself to the NEO Project and the rest of the people out there in radio room.
Peace. Assalamu alaikum. May God peace be on everyone that can hear my voice. I pray to the Creator that made us all, that he bless us all to help stop the killing, help them pull up their pants, and understand they got to please put down the gun. So all those records I made, I started making them in 94, myself and the JBs. But because we were on the road with James Brown, of course, I couldn't release them. They are being released right now as I'm speaking to you all. And I'll give you all a little clip of all of them. Please put down the gun. Please, please drop them. I'm tired of going to funeral homes. I'm tired of being all alone. Only guns and drugs we get. Just a whole bunch of foolishness. What can we do to make the world better? Eliminate violence and the young kid on the corner not thinking twice. I have to thank God for saving my life. When I seen darkness, he showed me that I have a destiny that's here to do right. Murders and robbers getting high all night. Having you live in this world in fright. Illiteracy has reached the chain. Man, I swear it's a bang bang. Even your mama can't identify your man. That's how it is when killers on the scene. Please put down the gun. Please, please drop them. The next one is, ow, pull up your pants, do the James Brown dance. Pull them up, get them up. I'm talking about your pants. You don't have to say if you pull them up, man. You need a belt. Wear a belt. You know that you can. Do it for yourself, and you won't feel bad. What about the women? We need real men, not sagging pants. What you talking about, man? James Brown said, say the kids, Fanny. I knowledge is here under slavery's beard. Unlock this chain that's on their brain. Here's the keys. Stop the miseries, man. Pull them up. Get them up. James Brown dance. Pull them up. Pull them up. James Brown dance. I'm your sister and your daughter. I'm your mother and your wife. Please, brothers, clean up your life. Because I can't dance while you're sagging your pants. I'm a bad man and I'm taking a stand. I'm going to do the James Brown and pull up my pants. Pull them up. Pull them up. Pull them up. Pull them up. You're sagging. Down, 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 down. Get up off the ground. Better pull your pants up. Get them off the ground right now. Stop the killing. Stop children. They want to keep on living. Stop. Boom, boom. Stop the killing. Doom, 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 doom. The children, they want to keep on living. The body is a holy place where God's spirit lives. Why keep taking what you can't give? We're going to the store out to play. You bought the gun that blew him away or the car with your hit and run. A new death called postpartum syndrome. Look at society. Stop the killing, please. She cried, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Why? My son, please put down the gun. Drop them, drop them, drop them. And I have Flavor Flame doing that drop them, drop them that you all hear. I pray to God that all of you all can come on the internet, get this. I'm going to send the picture to my brother, to the radio station. He's going to send it out. Y'all can go to the God Sister Soul at Gmail. You all can go to God Sister Soul, TikTok, Facebook. God Sister Soul presents to JB. He's the Godfather, so we love him so. Y'all can listen to the records. May God bless everybody. I'm waiting, brother. You're here.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sister, for gracing our station with your wonderful rendition and your rap. And we thank you so much for the support you bring with your music as well. We thank you so very much. We definitely come in and listen to you on the YouTube.
Yes, ma'am. And we will be touring soon. May God bless us all. The JB.
Oh, God bless you, sister.
So glad. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Dr. Robinson,
we continue
to welcome our celebrities.
Yes, yes, yes. Good evening. Good evening, Sister Sadie, Dr. Robinson.
Welcome, welcome, Mr. Ronald A. Robinson.
Yes, ma'am.
Of the local 26 Ethiopian World Federation, we welcome you, my brother.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And thank you. This is nothing new. The only thing that's new is time is in. And 20 years ago when we looked at the depletion of the black family and family, in general, men are not in the homes, anymore. They're in that generation, women saying, I don't need a man, raising children, children who are now getting locked up at an early age and they're out, and when they get out of prison, they go to these different functions or different houses, Catholic charities or whomever. I'm not prejudiced to people that are helping children and so on. And they're let out in the street. They have nobody. you know, have no love or anything else. The love that they see on television or on the internet, they replace God's love and the love for man and woman to man and man and woman and woman. This is not anything new. You know, I mean, they had cross-dressing shows in the 20s and 30s in Harlem, you know, all of that. So it's nothing new. It's just that we see it more than our face. When I see two young girls in the subway, nothing wrong with holding hands, but kissing like they're male and female, I'm saying, where did this come from? And then men doing the same thing. There is a lack, and it's a lack of foundation, godly foundation, and family foundation, which is the same thing. What I'm glad to hear, though, is a lot of young women, you know, here we come out of the generation where I don't need a man. Now there's a generation where, how come you're not treating your man right? You know, you want a man, you know, a good man, but you're looking at another man and expect, you know, grass is green on the other side. That one beats you, and you know, says we have to be women. They're going back to this. Says, we have to be women. I don't have a problem cooking for my man or washing clothes. Or if I have to, and I'm not at home. He's working, and I'm not. You know, and that they're talking about all these women out here, all these young women that don't have any men, and we're losing, or they're going, you know, or this, you decide to be gay one day and then the next day you're not. You know, so this is a dilemma. But I'm happy to see a little bit of the light of these young women in their 20s and 30s, you know, and 40s. Now realizing that they're going to be alone the rest of their life because the men don't care. The man says, well, I could do without a woman. I can go someplace else. I can go to Africa and get a woman. And that's what some of the women, that's what some of these men are able. They're going overseas and marrying women. They're not marrying black American women. You know, they're not. Of course, the drama, you know, and so on. But I'm glad to hear that the sisters are trying to turn things around, you know, like that. The older women used to go for the younger men. And that's slacking up. Because they're telling the younger women, when you get older and start getting gray hair, you know, what have you, he's going to leave you for a younger woman. So get it together.
Okay.
You know? But this is something that we're going through. I believe that it will change, but maybe not enough in our time. Okay. But I believe that it's just on the move. And for those sisters who are, for another term, woke or becoming woke, you know, and the men who realizing, you know, if they've been going around with every other woman, they said, listen, I don't need this. I don't need you. And I don't need a woman that's going around with every other man. And so they're not getting married. They're going to other countries, you know. But I believe that there's change is going to come. You know, I really believe it.
Well, my brother, Ronald Robinson, it is good that you came on City Sunday. It is wonderful that we touch on certain subjects. But what we are watching at and the way that things are heading, truly it's not really getting better with wishful thinking. It's heading to a certain direction because we know the time that we are living in. So mm-hmm. We see where a case of the women...
It's going to get worse before it gets better.
I am just saying, yes, that's the direction. So
yeah.
What we have to do is just go along until that process of elimination can take place and things mm-hmm. could smooth out itself within certain times. But of course, we mm-hmm. know we are heading into a really terrible time, which is like for most part to say the end time, all is more mm-hmm. without end, but truly a case where end of certain, you know, level of consciousness and a beginning of mm-hmm. that new level of consciousness, which is that new Jerusalem mm-hmm. that you think it's coming down from the sky, but it's that level of consciousness where we renew our mind, it's that newness. But a case where we are faced with what society is doing, where we have no control over certain laws and certain times, certain things are being put into place right now. Like I saw that there's a 14-year-old boy right now, he's becoming quite an internet sensation. He actually is being paid to bring straight young men into the gay lifestyle. So I don't know who's paying this kid. I just found the news and I just skim over it lightly because it's what's going on at this time. He's 14 years old, cute little kid, but somebody is paying him and this is his agenda at this time. So I guess he's somewhere in Hollywood, California, somewhere.
But you know, listen, it's and that's all, you know, all of that is true. You know, but I believe this. When we start, when we extricate ourselves from this system, in other words, you know, you got different immigrants coming here, and the lifestyle is different with family and what have you. But only after two or three generations that changes here, you know. But if we can separate ourselves from this, then yeah, they can have their laws, but we can have our morals and our laws as well. And we have to really just infuse that into the up and coming generations, you know, that we can teach morals, and morals becomes the right of way, not something that you have to, that is hard to do, but it's something that naturally comes to you. Nowadays, everything is on the shelf, and you can take what you want, right, and how you want it, you know. So I believe that the laws are one thing, but we as a people and we as human beings have some control. If we continue to allow them to control, you know,
this is where we take back that control, because if we continue to allow them control, what we are heading is right into the control of the New World Order, by which before we know it, we get a poke in our arm with the 666, and I say, oh my God, how did I allow myself? No, it's not about that. We have to understand, if we follow the laws of the Almighty God, which is the highest laws, there's no other laws by which can really come to, what should I say, override the laws.
Yeah.
But we are strayed, and we are strained further and further away. We, myself as an individual, but we as a people, we as a society, and what we have to do right now is to take back our children, our household, our families, and bring them up in the way that we would like, and not let society shape our children, our immediate families, because we cannot change what we are heading into, but we can show some integrity among our people.
And force our churches to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
The church age is dead. I think we are doing more church on Saturday Sundays than we are doing church with the other people, because church has become whereby men are in the business of God and not really dealing with God's business. And for this very punishment, there's a big lake of fire waiting for those preachers, because they are not telling the sheep. They are not feeding. He say, feed my people, you know. But now the shepherds have led the sheep astray. So they too would have to punish for that.
Cost of money.
Yeah, well, they have been bought. They have been bought for a high price.
Yes. Well, when I go to a fellowship, I haven't been to a fellowship in a long time, but we're talking about the homosexual and gay situation. The chorus, the whole chorus in my fellowship, I won't say a whole, I say 75% of the chorus is gay.
So y'all can have marriages just now.
Hey, you know, and it's something, they're gay, you know, and we have a large 5,000 seat church, you know, and people come to hear the music. Everybody in the chorus is gay. Had a pastor complain about
the pastor cannot teach certain scriptures.
Hey, Listen, pastors, as I'm doing a lot of study, archaeological study on religion and a psychological study on religion and stuff like that on faith and history, you know, of religion, they can't afford to tell the truth because they go out of business. It's a business.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And this is the bad thing. It's a business, and if they lose parishioners, all right, they can't do what they do.
Well, they want me to maintain that fancy lifestyle of the bishop or that big house in Long Island with the Mercedes Benz. So therefore, I cannot tell the children of Israel what it is that they are really supposed to do as far as the Father goes. So therefore, I'll dance around the scripture. I'll teach some New Testament, and I'll teach especially the prosperity gospel. I shall never touch on Revelation, not for one day in my life. And that's it for me.
Or tell the truth of the Old Testament, you know, or really teach.
No. You cannot touch the Old Testament because then you'll go into Leviticus and then we have to examine the laws. And then if we go to the ancient book of Lot, we can't go to Lot at all.
And Solomon, you know.
We wouldn't have to. We could never touch Sodom.
And Psalms. Yeah. Yeah, you can't, you know.
Because I'm thinking right now they want to rewrite the Bible and leave that part out. Those two villages, they can do it out right about now.
Well, they threw out
39
books anyway. They threw out 38 books anyway under the Council of Nicaea, you know, and so on, made it a more of a man-centered gospel or man-centered teaching. But there's teaching coming up. It's not new teaching. It's information that we can't teach this way, you know, and so on. And I'm gleaning on a lot of this, and I'm getting surprised myself, and looking at my life and changing my life as well, you know. But we die for the lack. We perish for the lack of information.
Lack of knowledge, yeah.
Lack of knowledge.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. And what is going to happen, mankind and as a people, we have become so very much lazy that we are no longer reading. There's the glorious internet that tells us this and tells us and tells us. And the other time we would study the Word of God, we would study the ancient books, and we'd be inspired by the spiritual as we enter into those realms, the truth about certain things. And we are moving away from that.
That's only if the pastor leaves you that way. But, you know, it's like in the Catholic Church, I don't practice. My family is Catholic, but I stopped practicing a long time ago. But I know if I go into the church down, Catholic Church down the street, they're teaching the same thing that they did 34 years ago. And I can pick a day. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So this is...
But the churches are not telling the people the truth, because what the pastors ought to tell the black Americans that they are the true Hebrew Israelites and stop playing with the people. And they are not telling the people. Nobody's preaching that scripture until, of course, Kyrie Irving came out and talked about it, and he almost got crucified for it and have to run back in the shoe.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like an epiphany that they get. Well, don't you know that we are the true children of Israel? And everybody else mouth drop. I knew that when I was 17.
Well, at least you found out and you were able to know that. What about the children who are growing up now and don't have a clue? Because they are going to the churches and are teaching that.
Well, thank you for the internet and those things now, because this is all over the internet. And some of these young kids, and I can't say all, but some, and thank God for little things, you know, are gleaning this. They're joining different spiritual organizations. They're learning this. I see this and I hear this in my neighborhood, you know, in the other neighborhoods that I go through and talk to people. They are understanding. They're beginning to understand. They're taking it to another level, you know, like we did, you know, when blacks did everything. I said, because we were only ones here, you know. But you know, I see that. So I have hope
faith that the little will become much.
Yes, I do believe that as well, because I went to a lecture a few two nights ago with Dr. Umar Johnson, and really I was almost out of place seeing that the majority, it was a well-attended evening with over 300 people, and their ages were in the 25 to 30. They were the, and I see that their minds were quite different from the people who are 50, who are 60 years old now. So I was happy for them, you know.
Yeah. Where was that? Because I like to see him lecture. Maybe we can get him.
Oh, my goodness. He was at the Magnolia Tree Center, if I only know that you wanted. What really happened is a friend of mine was having her birthday party, and he was an invited speaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was on the internet, but if I only, but next time, because Ronald Robinson,
maybe,
you know, you can
maybe Ethiopian World Federation can do something, and then
you know, this is Sadie Sunday. I just like to let you all know I have the man's telephone number, so in case you all want it, you know, you can always contact the secretary. I have these things on file, you know. I let Dr. Winborn know that the secretary job is even harder than the president. So whenever you are ready, I'll be able to, you know, send him a text message and do some things, because we are collaborating with some things. I don't want to talk too much, but we'll be seeing each other soon. So I will be able to at some point in the springtime invite him over to the headquarters so that he can do something with us. Because he's also a member of the Federation, which is good news.
Yes, I know.
Ronald Robinson, just for your collection, I'll send you a picture of me and him just for your WhatsApp collection.
Okay, that would be great.
I'll be your two favorite people.
I'll be
wonder how we're doing with time, because, you know, funny how time flies when we're having fun. I know it's closing to the top of the hour. We have some more time where we can enjoy ourselves, but surely the 2 hours that we are given, we start off thinking, my gosh, what are we going to do for 2 hours? And then when it's 5 minutes before two, we have everything to talk about. So Dr. Robinson, again, see who's there and let them in that they can have their words.
All mics are open. All mics are open.
I'll grab the mic. I just love what y'all doing. Y'all keep doing y'all thing. It's a Sunday night, but the money never sleeps. And we have to keep being focused on what the overall goal is. And the overall goal is to change people's lives. Every time we crack the mic on these shows, you never know who's listening. You never know who's online. So I'm just saying, y'all keep pushing that Neo Project. And on that note, I land my plane.
Thank you so much, listening audience and co-host of the show. It's wonderful that we can share love on the Sunday. We spread the word. We also, in collaboration with Neo Nation and the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, this is Sadie Sunday for Local 26 Woman Auxiliary, as we continue our wonderful Sundays, whereby we are on at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. You join us every Sunday, but this program also offers other radio programs throughout the week, Monday, throughout Thursday, Friday, whereby you can call the same number, 347-857-1311, where you have a show on Friday. So Dr. Ron Robinson, is it Dr. Robinson? And we have Benjamin Bridges on Saturday. Is that so, Dr. Robinson?
Yes. Friday nights, Black Business Billionaires Network Club. Saturday night, Spiritual Unity, Experiencing Spiritual Unity and Meditation with Dr. Benjamin Bridges. Then you have Monday night with Queen Amina, Black Alice in Wonderland. Then you have Tuesday nights, Mr. Eugene Bias, tax and information line. And then Wednesday you have Dr. Yvette Kinnerick, and she talking about spirituality, finances, and betterment of your life. And then Thursday night, you have Steel Brass with Ross Alrick, talking about reggae music and reggae history, and so forth and so on.
So it's a full house on our Neo Nation network with our wonderful Dr. James Winborn, who has such a vision for letting us have a platform whereby we can discuss various components of our society, our Black people. It's a platform where we are able to enjoy all things Black and to feel that wonderful melanated skin that cover us over and that wonderful spirit that lies within. And that is what the Black people are made of. We are rolled into this beautiful tanned skin for which we pay a very heavy price, but we have to know this melanin costs a lot. And if I have something more than you have, it means that I am more superior than you. So how dare you try to make me feel inferior when I got something you don't have. And money cannot even buy it. So if it should weigh pound for pound, I think I am heavier than you because I'm carrying the melanin. So I feel so good for this opportunity.
It actually has a value. It does.
So
God said it. Is,
you know, we walk around and we say proud to be Black, and you know, but truly we mean it, because being Black, as I tell people, is quite an experience by which, you know, you cannot share unless you're trapped in this wonderful, you know, layers and layers of melanin. But in a level of consciousness, we are indeed the first people that have been here. We are indeed God's chosen people, whether they try to hide it or not, but we know deep in our heart we have a creator to serve, we have a master to serve, and we have an agenda. So despite what is going on with society or what is going on with people or with the world, we still know we have to hold fast to that which is right, that which is true, that which is correct. And as we know, it is church on Sundays with Sadie, because therefore we tell the truth. And there's only one truth, one truth. And from that we should not stray, but we hold fast that, is, that which is good, which is righteous, and which is true. And for that, we keep our lives balanced, we keep ourselves peaceful, and for those of us who know a little more, we share the thought of each one, teach one. As again, Sadie Sunday, sharing love, sharing hope, sharing a lot of passion with my fellow listeners, for those who all join in with us, to hear and share with us the things that we deem to be important or the things that is not being brought forward into the limelight, or we are here to shine a light on it for those things that wish to be kept in the darkness. No, nothing is hidden from me, nothing goes under the bushes, because there are some things which is very subtle in our presence and it is just waiting to be swept away. But no, we gotta bring it forward, because again, we are seeing where we examine our conversation for this evening. It was mainly about the children. But here we are, winding down for our last 2 minutes or so of conversation, remembering to protect the innocence of children. This is something that is very important in our lifestyle, because we have to know there's only from 0 to 12 years to be a child, and some for some of us is even shorter. So let's preserve those really precious years, understanding that children must be kept children and their innocence must be protected at all costs, because you have a whole lifetime to be an adult, but you have these very precious 12 years to be a child. Let us allow children to be children, and as adults, protect such. We all have children in our midst, and as the saying goes, it takes a village to raise a child. It's been a wonderful Sunday evening with you and all my wonderful listeners as we wind down. This is Sadie Gomez for Ethiopian World Federation saying to you good night as you take us out in our commercials for those sponsoring us on our show. Thank you.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People
your life has been
out of control.
Your confused. But don't worry.
Don't worry, your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.